first chapter. Question here asked by the Lord Jesus unto Peter, and I'll read part of this chapter. Begin reading there at verse 7. It says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Very gracious out of the Lord, wasn't it? Come and dine. This is after the crucifixion. Remember, he told them in John chapter 15, he said, I'm going to talk to you now for a little while, but hereafter I'll not say much to you. That is, after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, I'll talk to you, have more to say to you. And here he greets them with, this is the way he greets these forlorn disciples. He said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on the breast, on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he may tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Well, the question that seems to be predominant in this chapter, or at least in the part of the chapter that I've read to you, is this question here asked of the Lord Jesus to Peter. Simon, verse 16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I read to you over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 where it said, If a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, if a man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be cursed of God throughout all eternity. If a man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Well, what is the feeling of a true believer towards the Lord Jesus Christ? It's this. He loves him. He loves him. That's the feeling, the attitude of a believer, a true believer. Is that he loves the Lord. Loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a true believer, true Christian, is not a mere baptized man or one who goes through a certain form of religion on a Sunday. That is, who only goes as a matter of form to a church on Sunday and lives the rest of the week as if there was no God. Formality is not Christianity. Ignorance and lip service has nothing to do with true religion. The Bible speaks something like this in Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, They are not all Israel which are of Israel. The true believer, true Christian, is one whose religion is in his heart and in his life. It's something that's felt by himself. He feels his religion. It's felt by himself in his heart, and it's also seen by others in his conduct and in his life. He or she always feels their sinfulness, their badness, their guilt, and they repent of it. A true believer is one who puts off the old man and puts on the new man. He's one who habitually and continually fights against this world and the flesh and the devil. Ask this man who is a true believer what he trusts for forgiveness, and he'll tell you every time the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not add to it or take from it. He trusts wholeheartedly in the person and the work of the Master, the Lord Jesus. He loves him. He loves him. He that would be in tune with God's heaven must know something of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that dies ignorant of that love had better never been born. Some marks by which that love to him makes itself known, and I'll call your attention to a few of those marks that makes itself known in the heart of a believer. Now, this is of great importance, I think, vast importance. If there's no salvation without love to him, and certainly that's true, there is no salvation, there is no heaven, there's no glory, there's no life eternal without love. Now, if this is so, then it makes the answer of this question, "Lovest thou me," to be of vital importance. If he that does not love the Lord Jesus Christ is in danger of eternal condemnation, then it becomes you and I to find out very distinctly what we know about this matter. Now we know that we know something about love because we know something about loving people here on earth. We know something about loving our wives, loving our children. Now, in what way or what manner does this love for our parents and for our wives and for our children and for our friends, in what manner does this love show itself? Between father and son, mother and daughter, friend and friend, how does it show itself? How does it show itself between the people of this world? Now, if you'll answer these questions based on common sense, I ask no more. Let these questions be answered simply, honestly, intelligently, and the knot will be untied as to the answer of the question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? If we love a person, we like to think about it. Isn't that right? If we really love somebody, we like to think about him. We need not be reminded of him. We do not forget his name or his appearance or his occupations or what he looks like, what his character is, what his reputation is. We need not be reminded of these things in that we know him. We think about him. We know about his character. We know about his opinion. We know about his taste or his position. We know about these things. He or she is on our mind's eye continuously. We think about them. We think about them. Though they may be far off from us, yet they're ever present in our thoughts. Well, this is so between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. Over here in the book of Ephesians is a portion of a verse that says what I'm trying to say. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, let me read it to you. Chapter 3 and verse 17. I'll begin reading at verse 14. And the truth that I want you to see is in verse 17, pertaining to our feelings and our love towards one another and how this relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Christ dwells in our heart. Now, a believer in Christ Jesus who loves him needs not to be reminded that he has a crucified Savior. He knows that he has a crucified Savior in his heart. That is, he knows who Christ is. He knows that he was sent of God. He knows that the desperate mission that he was on was to accomplish redemption, to shed his blood, to be the messenger of the covenant, to be the fulfiller of the eternal purpose of God in the matter of salvation. He knows that he came to be the sin bearer, that is, to bear the punishment do him against his sins. He knows that. A true believer knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is, where he come from, who sent him, and what he came to do. A true believer knows that. And because he knows that, he loves him, and he dwells in his heart constantly, and he is, and the dwelling, the abiding of Christ in his heart causes him to be rooted and grounded in the faith. He knows who he is. He knows what he done. He knows what he accomplished. He knows where he's at, and he knows what he's doing now. Now, if a man loves a person, that man likes to hear about it. If you love somebody, you you like to hear about Him? For instance, don't you find pleasure in listening to somebody talk about somebody you love? You get much joy and pleasure out of their talking about Him. You become very attentive when others talk about Him, describe His ways, His mannerisms, His sayings, His doings, His plans, His accomplishments, and so forth. You become very interested when others talk about Him, don't you? Well, there's some people now, you can say that they're not concerned about hearing others talk about this one that you love. He could be mentioned in their hearing, and they would manifest an attitude of indifference as to what's being said, describing Him and His ways and His doings and His plans. But you don't feel that way. Your heart is happy, and you rejoice at the sound of His name. You love to hear about Him. So it is with the believer in Christ Jesus. Others may be indifferent, unconcerned, but not you. A mark of a true believer that really delights in the Lord Jesus Christ is he loves to hear the sermons that are full of Christ. He loves that. Others may be indifferent, but not him. It strikes a chord in his heart. And he's very attentive. And he listens intently what's being said about him whom he loves. It's a mark. An indistinguishing mark of every believer. He enjoys the society most in which people talk of the things of the Lord Jesus. The people that have the same concern as he does are the people that he desires to be with. He desires to be in their society. He desires to meet with those who assemble themselves from time to time to hear about him whom he loves. He desires their company. He likes to be around them. If you love a person, it can be truly said that you like to read about him. And what pleases you most, if this person that you love is in a far distant place from you, you like to get a letter from him, and you desire to hear from him how he's doing and what he has to say, and it gives you great pleasure to get a letter from one that you love. Now, others might find very little interest in that letter. I know this in my own experience, that sometimes someone has said, well, just read this letter. And I wasn't interested in the letter, the contents of the letter, or wasn't interested too much in the writer of the letter. Maybe not interested in the receiver of the letter. But out of courtesy, took the letter and started to read it, or maybe did read it half-heartedly. Maybe sometimes wouldn't even take time to read the letter through. Others might find little interest in the letter from one of your loved ones, but those that love the writer of the letter have an extreme interest in the contents of the letter. Is that not right? There's something in that letter which you see that no one else sees. And you read that letter over and over and over. You lay the letter down and go about your business, and the first thing you know, it crosses your mind as to what they really said. Or there's something there that you want to read again, and you pick that letter up. You love to read a letter that was written to you by one of your loved ones. If you have a son or a daughter that's away in school, you love to hear from them. And when the mail comes, there's several letters there, but if there's a letter there from your son or your daughter or your mother or your father or your wife or your husband, letter comes from one of these, that's the first letter you open, because you love to hear from those that you love. And that's a mark of a true believer. A true believer delights in the Word of the living God. A true believer, he loves to read the Scripture, or he loves to hear the Scripture read to him. Why? Because the Scriptures, from start to finish, tells him about his Savior. He loves it when he hears about his Savior. He loves to hear what his Savior has to say. One part that always fascinates me in the Scriptures is what the Savior has to say to me about judgment. Judgment. I was brought up into believing all of my life. I don't mean that people set out to teach me this. I mean, I just imagined that this was true. That I would be judged for everything that I ever did, which was contrary to perfection. And for me to live with that and to wrestle with that was more than I could handle. But when I heard with my own ears and felt it in my very soul, that this judgment that was a terror to me all of my life, which made cold chills run up and down my spine, which made me want to erase, if I could, the thought of judgment and having to answer for all of my wrongdoings, scared me. But when I heard that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, oh, what a changed person I was. Oh, the pleasure that I got out of hearing that He bore my judgment. He bore, actually, really, as a man, wasn't a ghost or some mystic, some vapor, some form, some non-being, but it was a person just like myself, a man. Came from God, sent from God, and as a man, from first to last, constituted my substitute and stood in my place. and for the judgment that was due me. And because He bore the judgment that was due me, I'll never have to bear that judgment. And I'll not be tried for my sins and my crimes because He was tried in my place. I like to hear about Him. I like for preachers to preach that I have no sin. No judgment for me. I like to hear about that. Makes me happy. I take pleasure in it. I think about it. And I relish it. Oftentimes during the day, whether I'm by myself or with others, I relish that thought, that truth, that fact that's riveted in my heart. No condemnation. He that believeth shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. For now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I like to hear that. I delight in the Word that tells me about Him. Oh, listen. If we love this person, if I love my son, my daughter, my wife, my friend, if I love them, my love will cause me to try my dead level best to please them who are the object of my love. I want to please them. I ought to please my wife. Strange as that may seem to some of you, that me, that I would want to please my... I want to please my wife. I help her. I want to please her. I want to please her because I love her. I didn't love her back when she was 16, 17 and then quit loving her. I've loved her from that time until now. And I want to please her. I want her to be happy. If you love a person, that's what love is. If you love them, you take pleasure in them. We like to please them. We're glad to consult their taste and their opinions. We're glad to act upon their advice. We do the things which they approve of. We do the things which please them. We even deny ourselves sometimes to meet their wishes. We abstain from things which they dislike in order that they wouldn't be offended. We love to please them. If we love a person, we love his friends. We'll love his friends for his sake, if nothing else. If we love a person, we're jealous. We're jealous about their name. We're jealous about their honor. And we don't like to hear them being spoken against, do we? I don't like for folks to speak against my family. I don't like to, even though some of what they say, or maybe all of what they say, is true, I still don't like it. Do you? I don't like it. I don't like it. We feel bound to maintain a friend's interest and his reputation, and we do not hesitate to stand and to defend him. We don't do it. If we love a person, then we like to talk with him. We like to hear his thoughts, and we like to tell him our thoughts. However silent or reserved we might be with other people, we are not silent and reserved with those that we love. We want to know their thoughts. We want to adhere to their counsel and their wisdom and their advice. We find it easy to talk to a much loved friend, don't we? Oh, my soul. These are marks that kind of give us some indication here of whether we love Him or not. Lovest thou me, Peter? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Now, if that's all we can do, that'll be enough. If we can honestly, intelligently say before God, when this question is asked us by the Son of God, lovest thou me? If we can be, Peter couldn't point back to his conduct. Peter couldn't say, now, when I was tried and tested, I stood firm. He couldn't say that. Peter, there, when that little Jewish maiden said, why, your speech kind of betrays you, I believe you're one of them. And Peter stood up and denied that he was one of them. He denied that he ever knew the Lord Jesus Christ or was associated with Him or anything else. He couldn't at this time. He couldn't refer back to Him some act of faithfulness and steadfastness of His, how He defended the Lord Jesus Christ. Lovest thou me, Peter? Peter couldn't say anything except, Lord, I know you're God. I know you're God and you know all things. You made the heart and you know what's in my heart. Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Thou knowest. That's about all I can say. Lord, thou knowest I love thee. You love Him? Well, if a man doesn't love Him, they know salvation for him. And if you love Him, then these questions that I ask here, the remarks that I made concerning how love to earthly people makes itself known, there's a similarity that makes itself known in the heart of a Christian. That he loves Him. He loves to walk with Him. He loves to talk with Him. He loves to hear about Him. He loves to read about Him. And evidently, the biggest part of us that are gathered here this morning, we wouldn't be here if we didn't love Him, if we didn't want to hear about Him, if we didn't want to sing about Him, if we didn't want to pray to Him, if we didn't want to worship Him. In all probability, we wouldn't have been here. Isn't that right? But we love Him. We love Him. We don't love Him like we ought to love Him. And we don't serve Him like we ought to serve Him. But thank God, He knows. Lovest thou me, Peter? Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. God help us and bless us. Bring us back again this evening. We'll talk some more about it. Let's stand.